From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, we'll talk risk-taking with the man behind three successful online companies, Expedia, Zillow, and Glassdoor.
Looking forward to that. But first, lots going on in Washington, with criticism following the jubilation at the release of POW Bo Bergdahl. And this morning, a new plan unveiled, the first ever of its kind, to help slow climate change by cutting carbon emissions at plants that burn fossil fuels. Here's EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy.
And today, climate change that's fueled by carbon pollution is supercharging risks, not just to our health, but to our communities, to our economy, and to our way of life.
NPR's senior politics editor Ron Elving joins us with All Things Washington. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Robin.
And let's start with that announcement today, talking about current emissions, mostly at coal-fired plants, and cutting them by a third in the next 15 years. Very ambitious. What's some of the fallout from this? First of all, what does this mean for power companies?
The power companies are going to have to meet new standards, and the byword here is 30 by 30. They want to reduce the emissions by 30% by the year 2030, and the baseline year is 2005. So this is already to some degree underway, and states have a certain amount of flexibility in implementing the plan to decide exactly how to bring it about. Some states are already making a lot of progress in that direction, but the plants are going to have to change their ways. You know, this is a third of all domestic greenhouse gas emissions that we're talking about. That's what comes from these stationary coal-fired plants generating electricity. And while we already have a lot of limits on things like arsenic or mercury, sulfur dioxide, and other pollutants, we have not had any kind of national limits on carbon pollution levels that lead to climate change. And in pitching this, the EPA and the president have really been talking a lot about health as well as climate change.
Yeah. Well, and the coal industry in particular is saying this is a declaring war on coal. And we hear, staying with the political, that some Democratic lawmakers in coal states are worried.
Yes, they have to be. Nick Rahal, for example, is a congressman, longtime congressman from West Virginia. Coal is the lifeblood of West Virginia, or has been, or certainly in the part of it that Nick Rahal is from. So obviously he has been distancing himself from this new clean power plan from EPA. And a candidate in Kentucky, Allison Lindergan Grimes, who is the Democrats' hope against Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, has also said she doesn't want to have anything to do with this. And so a certain number of coal state Democrats are going to be holding this more than at arm's length.
Okay, so we'll continue to watch that. But meanwhile, we want to talk to you about the big story this weekend. We all heard the president say that Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the American soldier held captive for 5 years by the Taliban, coming home in a trade for five Taliban detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Let's listen to the president during his announcement on Saturday.
As part of this effort, the United States is transferring five detainees from the prison in Guantanamo Bay to Qatar. The Qatari government has given us assurances that it will put in place measures to protect our national security.
Well, as you know, Ron, there are many lawmakers who aren't buying those assurances.
That's right. And there are a lot of things to question about this entire situation. It's a little bit murky at its inception. You go back to 2009, and it's not clear what exactly the circumstances of Sergeant Bergdahl's capture were. And there have been statements attributed to him that are going to have to be looked at. Some things that he said to Rolling Stone via email and so forth, things that they got from his parents. It's not clear exactly what his state of mind was when he wrote these things, not clear exactly what his state of attitude was when he first left his base and was captured by the Taliban. So there is that whole dimension to this. But then there's also the question of whether or not this was a good deal, whether or not the administration drove a hard enough bargain, or whether or not it should have been talking to terrorists in the first place.
Yeah, well, and the White House has said that they weren't directly talking. It was these officials in Qatar who were actually doing the negotiations. But a lot of lawmakers worry that it'll make targets of soldiers who might be kidnapped, or that these Taliban detainees will go back to their fight against the U.S.
Now, theoretically, they're going to be on ice for a year, and they're going to be under these travel restrictions and so on. It's not really clear what the effect of those kinds of restrictions would be on these people. They are clearly very definitely committed, dedicated Taliban operatives, at least one or two of whom have direct connections to al-Qaeda. They've been described as the baddest of the bad guys that were down at Gitmo. But look, there's a larger issue here, and that's really the Guantanamo Bay prison in general. As this war is drawing down, and the president made clear last week that this war is going to come to an end from the standpoint of the United States, we are holding these detainees at Gitmo, and whether you call them prisoners of war, whether you call them detainees, or whether you call them terrorists, the reasoning behind those detentions is going to be under a different kind of pressure as this war comes to an end. So a lot of people who want Gitmo to remain a robust holding pen for some of these actors, a lot of those people are disturbed that the president here is beginning to empty that prison out, and that's why he began today with this prisoner swap.
NPR senior politics editor Ron Elving, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.